Well, I had cried it all out. I think probably this won't be the last time, but I'm sort of overwhelmed at the friendly and loving faces I see out there, and I'd like to think that Grandma and Papa are here, and Grandma's probably wondering what the fuss is all about, and, you know, we decided last night she'd be straightening or making food for someone, and busy just loving us and being good to us. But over the last few days, many of the various grandkids have been sending in emails, and they've been sharing beautiful and funny tributes, grandma tributes, and I'd like to share a few phases that I think will resonate with the grandkids at least, and sort of an addendum to Joseph's list. And some of these things include hearing Grandma tell Little Black Sambo, or read Curious George, or Frog and Toad, The Lorax, and of course, I'll tell you a story of Helen and Dory, Now My Story's Begun. I'll tell you another about her brother, and now my story's done. Picking raspberries, sitting on the cabin porch watching hummingbirds, bottomless access to root beer, He-Man and strawberry shortcake dolls. It's good to know that the next generation has found them and appreciate them. Catching fireflies in the jars that with holes cut in the top so we could keep them probably till they were dead, but that was all right. Handmade birthday cards, of course. Chocolates, and more chocolates. Jam making. Grandma and Papa trips. I think almost all of us went on a trip somewhere to Pennsylvania, to Alaska, to Utah, going east, going west, and almost all of those trips were in the back of that white pickup truck that they drove for so long. They would make a huge bed, and I, you know, we would just go crazy for however long it took to drive there or back, and that was the adventure, to have special time with Grandma and Papa. Quilts, of course, the family history book that she helped put together and gave to each of us, baby blankets, and of course, getting to pick out your very own bag of candy on the way to the cabin and not having to share it with anyone. And as we grew, Grandma was an ardent follower, an active participant. This is the lady who took 5 11-year-olds all the way to Alaska and back. And she's an active participant in the important and the unimportant events of our life. Baptisms, baby blessings, boyfriends, girlfriends, homework, adventures through church camps, missions, of course, and marriage. She was a life advisor. She was a temple worker companion. And she was, of course, a faithful correspondent. And I think Grandma was Grandma because she had the capacity to enter our lives, each of our lives, as her grandchildren, in ways that were personal and intimate. However, I think if we were to look at the stories behind these phrases, there would be common threads that would run through each of them. And these are the threads that made up the principles that guided the way Grandma lived her life and the way she acted in concert with others. And these are threads of love and patience, kindness, an understated but wicked sense of humor, a willingness to do hard things even if she didn't know how, sharing, resilience, and of course, she was a woman of faith. And I think that, for me, is what stands out most. Grandma is someone who honored her covenants, and she loved the Lord. Grandma lived the gospel. She attended her church meetings. She worshiped faithfully. She did her visiting teaching the first Tuesday of every month faithfully. She read her scriptures. I was noting her scriptures in the viewing room, and they were marked and well-worn and well-read. And she did so because it was in her heart. It was something she believed in and loved. So I think of all the gifts she gave us, the one that is most important is the one we still have, and that is a legacy of faith. So my invitation, I think, to myself and to each of you is to think right now about that attribute of hers that touched your heart, and to more fully adopt it. And whatever that attribute is, to overlay it with a faithful heart, to look to the Lord, and to know that in doing so, we honor and remember Grandma in a way that she would want us to. So I think a final story I'd like to share, and hope you'll forgive me for pulling a personal one out of my life, but I think it's one that most of all of you have heard. Well, you'll travel back in time with me to a hot summer day in 1981, and picture in the cab of an old white pickup truck, me by the door, then Becky, then Daniel, or maybe it was Daniel and then Becky, and then Grandma driving. And as we turned a corner, the door went flying open, and I went flying open with it, just, you know, holding on to the door. I think I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I remember clinging to the door handles. Daniel was trying to pull it shut and hearing Grandma cry out, "Hold on, Rachel, hold on!" And she pulled over to the side of the road and pulled me back in, and I was not allowed to sit by the door for years to come. But I think now that Grandma would have that same message to each of us, to hold on. Abinadi teaches in Mosiah that there is a resurrection, therefore the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. So let us now honor and remember Grandma, and remember that the grave hath no victory, and live our lives so that we can join her, so that we can hold on, and we can be with her and Papa in the morning of the first resurrection. And it's with these thoughts and these words and my testimony, with great love for Grandma, that I close in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.